بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني في قولي. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. My dear respected brothers and elders and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It feels like the month of Ramadan is just quickly going away. We're already in the fourth day. May Allah ta'ala make it easy on all of us to complete this month, inshallah, and obtain as maximum blessings as we can, inshallah ta'ala. So we'll continue with our tafsir of Surah Hud. We're up to ayah number 8 today, inshallah. Just to give a brief reminder about what happened last time, is that we spoke about these two beautiful ayats in ayah number 6 and 7, which talks about how Allah ta'ala cares for all of existence, all of creation. And so because Allah Ta'ala provides for everything, He tells us not to worry about it, and rather we should focus on our purpose, which is to worship Him. And so by focusing on our purpose, Allah will take care of all of our worldly needs, and He'll take care of our hereafter as well. And then Allah Ta'ala speaks about the reason why He created everything in terms of the universe, all of existence, the sun, moon, the heavens, right? He created everything. And so He says that He created it so that He can put us in this place of testing and exam. So we can understand that the fact that we're here, we're so special and fortunate that Allah Ta'ala said everything is here, meaning all of creation is here just because of us. And so if we remember that, then we'd never feel that we are unappreciated or not special. Rather, we're very fortunate, very special to be here. And we just have to make sure we do the best that we promised Allah that we'd be doing when we're here. So, and Allah Ta'ala, we spoke about this 6 days, right? That Allah Ta'ala created the universe in 6 days. And we explained how, you know, the word day, by the way, I forgot to mention this last time. Obviously, a day by us is 24 hours because it runs on the sun, you know. So, but a day by Allah Ta'ala is much longer than that. We find in the Quran, it says that a day by Allah is 1,000 years. And the day of judgment, a day of judgment, right, is 50,000 years. So we shouldn't think about it like a 24-hour day, because that would rely on the sun. And obviously, if you're creating everything, you're creating things before the sun, right? So having said that, it's a lot longer than that. And that's why we can translate it safely as 6 phases. And then we spoke about that in some detail last time. And it was really interesting. So any case, after talking about how extraordinary Allah that has made everything, how His arsh, His throne is above the water, and how Allah that keeps everything in balance, and this extraordinary creation Allah that has made, and you start to tell people that, hey, you know, we're here for some bigger purpose, and you'll all be resurrected after death, people will start to say that this is just magic. You're just wasting people's time. All this stuff is fake. And so they said this not to us, but to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They called the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a clear magician. Everything he did was absolute magic in front of their eyes. And so they were insulting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we left at this point that if you and I heard that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was being insulted, being mocked at, and being called a liar, we wouldn't tolerate it even for a single moment. And imagine this in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who just told them that I know everything they conceal and everything they reveal. In front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're saying such things. I think you and I would agree that if Allah's lightning bolt came down, an earthquake came down, lasers started shooting out at them, you'd probably be like, they probably deserved it. Because they insulted the Habib, the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, but Allah ta'ala says in the next ayah, وَلَيْنَ أَخَّرْنَا عَنْهُ الْعَذَابِ لَأُمَّةٍ مَعْدُودَةٍ لَيَقُولُنَّ مَا يَحْبِسُ. It's a beautiful ayah. I want us to reflect on it. It says, if we delay the punishment for them for a limited time, we just delay it for a little bit, they will say, ma yahbisu, what is holding it back? So in this, we get the answer as to why Allah Ta'ala doesn't destroy them right away. It's because of the fact that we know that Allah does kindness and forbearance, He keeps them here. There's a lot more that's going to come out of human beings. There are people that might have mocked the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam originally, but become Muslims later on. For example, a good example of this is Umar radiallahu anhu, who in the beginning of Islam was one of the worst enemies that you could ever imagine of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. But within the sixth year of the Prophet alayhi salam's prophethood, in that 6th year, you find that he accepts Islam. We find that Abu Sufyan, who's been fighting the Prophet alayhi salam for 20 years, 20 long years, by the end of those 20 years, at the conquest of Makkah, Abu Sufyan accepts Islam. We don't know who, where, and when Allah Ta'ala has written hidayah or a guidance for someone. We just got to keep going, you know, just got to keep moving forward. So Allah Ta'ala says to them, you know, if we delay the punishment, they start to say this obnoxious thing. What is the obnoxious thing they say? What's holding it back? Yo, Muhammad, you're saying this big punishment. We've been here for a while. Where is the punishment? What's holding it back? What's holding Allah back? Why didn't they destroy us, you know? So, you know, this question, so I'll bring us back to our Jahiliyyah days a little bit, just so we can understand this type of question that they're asking. What is the thing? Is that, you know, you probably had this, you know, there's an altercation about to happen, two guys about to fight it out, right? And so you see that these guys get really angry, maybe after a basketball game or whatever game, and they're just like at each other's chests. And yet, you know, there's one guy who just like, you know, he runs into you. You're like the guy who's standing on the side, right? And these two guys are about to fight, like person A, person B, right? About to duke it out. And yet for some reason, person A, he like runs into you and it's like, hold me back. You know, and your mind is like, why do I have to hold you back? You know, like if you want to fight, you go ahead, you know? Like, and so whenever I saw this, majority of the guys who ever said, hold me back, they probably didn't want to fight in the first place, but they just need to show how tough they were, right? So this is one way of seeing a fight. You know, in my mind, it's just so funny when we see these types of things. I'm like, bro, if you really want to knock the guy out, just go. Why are you making me hold you back? I'm not trying to hold you back. You just literally put me in the way. That's just how I'm going to do anything. You just didn't want to fight in the first place. That's one way of looking at certain fights. But there's another guy who will tell you, like if you're about to fight him, he goes and says, what's holding you back? You know, and another way of saying it, like in a more like, I guess, New Yorker way, is like, touch my face. Go ahead, touch my face. See what's going to happen, you know? And so that type of expression, you know, you'd be enraged, but you would know for sure that this person that you're about to fight, he is definitely ready for what you're about to give him. Because he's saying, just touch my face once and you see what's going to happen, you know? So he is basically telling them, just do it. I dare you. I double dare you. Just touch me and you'll see what's going to happen. So he's threatening them, number one. And number two is that he's telling them that I'm completely ready for what you got. So they're saying this, we can take it. Okay? So this was nice when we're talking about human beings to human beings. All right? So we had the two types of fights. Totally makes sense. What did the Quraysh just say? They said to Allah, Allah, what's holding you back? I need you all to think about that and let that sink in. What's holding you back, Allah? Astaghfirullah. To a human being to say that I'm ready for it. You can punch me, you can hit me, and I'll knock you out. That's fine. You're saying it to God. God, Allah, what do you have? Bring it on. I can handle it. I'm ready for it. Okay? If anyone says this, you and I could probably agree that they're complete idiots. Okay? And I'm being nice here about the word I use here. I'm being very generous here with the expression. Because what we want to describe Quraysh as is absolute fools. Because Allah Ta'ala tells them, and this is the thing here, the ayah has the next answer, right? I'm just giving you what the ayah says. Ala yawma ya'tihim laysa masrufan anhum wa haqa bihim ma kanu bihi yastahzi'un. Ala, pay attention, be aware, take care, that take heed that the day it will come to them, when the punishment comes to them, laysa masrufan anhum, it's not going to turn from them, it's not going to divert from them. The same jokes they used to make, the same mockery they used to do, the same making fun of this punishment and everything, it will surround them. It will completely engulf them. It will be like a tidal wave. You know, when the punishment of Allah Ta'ala comes, for example, imagine this, that the Qurayshi guy, the guy in the tribe of the Prophet is basically making fun of Allah Ta'ala, saying, Allah, this punishment you're saying is just a joke. What's holding it back? Come on, we're ready for it. And so what happens? Allah sends an earthquake. You think at the time of an earthquake, people are like, they're still saying that's just a joke. You know, imagine the people of Ad and Thamud, right? They were destroyed by the winds, or the people of Nuh alayhi salam destroyed by the flood. You think by the time the flood is coming, people are like, yeah, it was just a joke. That was really funny. No one is making a joke after Allah's punishment comes on. I'm telling you, subhanAllah, we got a taste of it. That Allah just sends a small virus. Such a small little micro millimeter, like so tiny of a virus, so insignificant in our eyes. Yet it put the entire world, it brought the entire world to its knees. You don't want to ask Allah for his punishment. Allah Ta'ala says the day when it comes, it's not going to turn away from them, number one. And second thing is that whatever they used to make fun of will surround them from every side, you know, from every single angle, from every single side. When it comes to this one little virus, I found it so ajeeb that this ayah here, and people make a joke about Allah, or they make fun of Allah Ta'ala's punishment. But yet when it comes down, you can't even leave your house anymore. It surrounds you from every single angle. In the beginning, everyone was cleaning off every single doorknob and everything around them. They're disinfecting everything, literally surrounded from all sides. Sadaqallah. You have to look at this eye and be like, dang, that was some truth right there. Allah Ta'ala knows. So these people, you know, normally when people have a question, they'll say, for example, that if you ask me what is holding Allah Ta'ala back from destroying these oppressive regimes, like for example, China, or you know, the areas of Lebanon or Syria or Yemen or whatever. And I will tell you that, you know, perhaps Allah Ta'ala's deeper plan, you know, those people who have died there, and may Allah Ta'ala grant them all Jannah to Firdaus, you know, and may Allah Ta'ala give them afia and shifa. And we make dua every day for our Uyghur Muslim brothers and sisters and all the Muslims who are suffering all over the world. Really make dua every single day. You don't know if this is the Ramadan that Allah Ta'ala will give them afia and shifa because of what you made, what dua you made. Inshallah, may Allah Ta'ala make it a reality in this Ramadan. But the thing is that, you know, we could say that perhaps Allah has a very high status for them. Or perhaps Allah Ta'ala wants to give the oppressor a chance. Or maybe even the fact that Allah wants the oppressor to come completely full of sins on the day of judgment. So Allah will punish him in full. And I think that will be very satisfying for a lot of us who wanted to see these people get what they deserve. So then on the day of judgment, Allah gives them in full. I can give you answers. And we have many answers about why people go through difficulties in life. Okay? But these people do not deserve an answer. That's why Allah made it very clear that, look, the day it's going to come, it's going to hit them hard. Because they're making fun of my punishment, and they'll see what's going to happen when it comes. So Allah Ta'ala makes them into a joke. We look at the people of Ad and Thamud. Have you ever heard of people of Ad and Thamud in your history books? Do people even talk about them? Did you ever learn it in any world civilization? Do you listen about them anywhere? The people of Nuh alayhi salam? What, you know, do you talk about Sodom and Gomorrah, for example? The people of Sadum, right? The people of Lut alayhi salam? You know, I'm just asking everyone who's went to school, who's been in high school or college. I'll be honest, for myself, I don't think I've ever heard any one of them in any single one of my classes, whether history or any other field or any other subject. And I think you all will agree that when Allah Ta'ala wipes you off the face of the earth, no one talks about you anymore. Okay? And I mean it when I talk about it. Because why? Because people like Abu Jahl, no one names their kid Abu Jahl. I think you'd be an idiot to call your kid Abu Jahl. No one ever calls them any of these names, because why? When Allah Ta'ala makes you into a joke, you made fun of Allah and you see what Allah does to you, right? There's no magic here. When Allah's punishment comes down, it's real. We ask Allah for protection from it, because obviously he's telling us all these beautiful things to make sure that we stay away from this punishment. So then we transition into a very important section. And so we're going to first read this point, these ayat, and understand them. And then we'll come up to why Allah Ta'ala is mentioning them. Okay, it'll make sense when we reach the end. وَلَئِنَ ذَقَنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنَّا رَحْمَةً ثُمَّ نَزَعْنَاهَا مِنْهُ إِنَّهُ لَيَأُوسٌ كَفُورٌ. If we were to give a taste, if we were to give man a taste of our mercy, okay? The word in Arabic is ذَوْق. When you taste something good, would you want more of it? Obviously, right? That's a no-brainer. So Allah Ta'ala says, we give man a taste of our mercy. If I give you a taste of something, it's not exactly, like for example, you know, we're cooking some very nice biryani or something, mashallah, or like some great curry. Or maybe like, let's be honest here, like some cake, you know, mashallah. I'm not trying to get you guys hungry before iftar, but like imagine there was like this beautiful chocolate cake, this amazing dessert waiting for you at iftar time, you know. Just getting a taste of it will make you so happy, you know. But imagine actually eating it, okay. So I want to first clarify this, that Allah Ta'ala says a taste of our mercy, because it's not really what it is. A taste is not really the food, right? You really want to eat the food. So Allah Ta'ala says a taste of our mercy, because in this life, you're only getting tastes of Allah Ta'ala's mercy. In the day of judgment, in Jannah, you actually receive the full mercy. You receive exactly what it is. In this life, you're just tasting small little portions of it, just a spoon of it, just a lick of it. That's all you're getting. In Jannah, you actually experience it in full. May Allah Ta'ala grant us Jannah so we can actually experience these things. Allah says we give them a taste of our mercy. It can be some compassion, some night, you know, something good, some health, some wealth, whatever it might be. Then what happens? Okay, and obviously a taste is for a brief moment. People would love to have it and they love to keep it forever. What happens though? ثُمَّ نَزَعْنَاهُ مِنْهُ. That we take it away from him. Okay, so Allah gave them a taste of something, some beautiful honey, entered their mouth. Then Allah removes it. Okay, Allah has full right to remove it, because the one who gave you the mercy has full right to take away the mercy, right? Allah gives you compassion, you can take it away. Nothing wrong with that. When Allah takes it away though, what happens to human beings? Right? You don't need to say it to me. We know exactly what it is. إِنَّهُ لَيَأُوسٌ كَفُورٌ. Allah answers himself in the ayah. He says, when mankind is given a taste of mercy, then we remove it. What happens is what? He becomes full of despair. Ya'us. He goes himself, tells himself that, man, that's it. I'm a goner. I'm finished, you know? The guy, he had such a beautiful proposal. He's about to get married to this amazing girl. And he's like, man, that's it. You know, this Fatima is in my mind. That's it, man. And then, you know, it's about to be done. He's about to get married. The wedding is the next day. And then the bride side just calls it off completely. Oh, man. It's like, you should have just shot me in the head right now. Just finish me, you know? Like how sad he feels. Completely full of despair. And then kafur. And they become extremely ungrateful. They lose one blessing of Allah. And then human beings start to say, oh, man, I hate this Lord. He's taken away everything from me. He's taken away absolutely everything from me. Everything they become ungrateful for. This completely captures how human beings are. When Allah gives us the mercy and then takes it away, number one is that we lose hope in everything. We say there's no point in life anymore. And then the second part is what? Kafur. Not just kafir, but kafur. Completely ungrateful, as if Allah has never done anything for us anymore. Okay? This is one part. This is the first part. Then Allah flips and says, and perhaps we give them a taste of comfort. Okay, na'ma'a, right? We give them luxury. We give them happiness. We give them joy. Na'ma is the Arabic word when you use it. When it's a ni'ma that you experience, that people can see it now. So in other words, I become so wealthy and rich that you see the Rolex on my hand. Or I become so wealthy, my Lamborghini, you see it when I drive into the masjid now. You start to see these blessings, and now you're like, man, this person's really living the life of happiness, life of joy, lap of luxury. So when adaqnahu na'ma'a ba'da darra, we gave him a taste of comfort after a hardship, a single hardship, okay? Has masatu, has just touched him. And again, a touch is what? If I just rub my finger or wipe my finger over your hand, it's a brief instant, just passes by. So Allah Ta'ala says that a punishment, a hardship will come down just a little bit. And what will it do? Just pass over you. And you're like, ya laytani kuntu turaba. Oh Allah, I wish I were dirt. Right? So just a little bit of a taste of comfort makes us completely forget about the hardship. And so what happens when a human being receives this? A blessing after a long, like a small, like Allah describes it as a small difficulty. But for us, it feels like a very long time. Allah says, إِنَّهُ لَفَرِحٌ ذَهَبَ السَّيَّاتِ لَيَقُولَنَّ ذَهَبَ السَّيَّاتُ عَنِّي إِنَّهُ لَفَرِحٌ فَخُورٌ. He goes and says that all evils have gone away from me. From one hardship being removed from human beings, they go and say that all evils have been taken away from me. Okay? And then the next part is, إِنَّهُ لَفَرِحٌ فَخُورٌ. That he becomes surely exultant. Exultant is the word when you start to, you become overly happy. You start clapping, you start laughing, you know, you start becoming so overjoyous, right? And it leads a person to disbelieve in Allah Ta'ala or commit sins. In terms of the Islamic understanding of happiness, which is bad, happiness which leads a person into sinning, or happiness which leads a person to become ungrateful to Allah, these are happinesses that we don't need. If happiness brings you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that's a happiness that everyone should have. If that's not the case, then even being sad is probably better. Because that way, you at least you connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you don't forget about Him. إِنَّهُ لَفَرِحٌ فَخُورٌ. What happens is when human beings receive a blessing from Allah, after a hardship is taken away from them, they start to brag and boast as if they did something. They start to say, yeah, you know, it's because I was so smart. I invested in this place. And so now my money is completely safe and secure. And that's why. Oh, yeah, I was really smart because I figured it out that I actually had to do this, this, and this. And you probably had that experience. You know, you helped out someone so much, so much. You set up everything for them. You set their wedding, you set their marriage, you did everything for them. Yet they never even give you a thank you. They never even say it. And when you ask them, like, how's everything going? They're like, yeah, I was a really smart guy. I set this up. I did this and that. And you're like, are you blind, bro? Like, I was the one who did everything for you. So, إِنَّ لَفَرِحٌ خَفَخُورٌ. And I think parents are the mistaq or the truth of this ayah. Because parents do absolutely everything for their kids. And when it comes to mothers, I think mothers do the most for all their children. Yet their children are just so unappreciative of what their mothers do. You know? And so the kid will brag about all his accomplishments and achievements, yet never once thank his parents. You know, started from the bottom, now I'm here, the bootstraps, whatever. All these types of nonsense that we learn in America, no one ever thanks their parents. The first person that we should always thank is the fact that we should thank our mothers, and then thank our fathers. So Allah that describes this about human beings. So we're going to learn a couple of things from these ayats. Okay? So why did Allah that mention it? He's talking about something very important here. In the previous ayah, in ayah number 8, Allah that talks about a human being that if we were to give him our, you know, that he says, what's holding the punishment back? Allah first and foremost says he barely could take a touch of this difficulty. If I were to give him a touch of difficulty, just a finger on his skin, just that much difficulty, he would say, ya Allah, this is the worst thing I've ever received. Yet he's asking, legitimately asking for the punishment of Allah Ta'ala. This man is an absolute fool. Absolute fool. The second thing is what? that human beings, for some reason, they brag about one blessing, yet they forget about the countless other ones. When we go through a difficulty, what happens is we start to think about that one difficulty and just, oh Allah, if you can just lift this one difficulty. But we forget about the countless blessings, the eyes, the ears, the tongues, the hearts, the breaths, the nose, the everything that we receive from Allah. We forget about everything just because of one blessing that was taken away. Whereas we should have been what? Allah, you took away one blessing, but I still have millions and billions more. The fact that I can see different colors, the fact that you and I can hear, the fact that you and I can taste, there's so many more blessings to be appreciative of. All right, Allah, you took away this one thing, but I still have family and friends. I still have someone to rely on. Alhamdulillah, Allah, I still have the masjid to go to. At least I can make sujood and ruku'. I have so much to be grateful for. Even if Allah took away one thing, just one thing, I still have billions of things to say Alhamdulillah for. Okay? And so I want everyone to understand this about this, why Allah is saying this about these people. That these people are absolutely not consistent. Unbelievably not consistent. That they only worship when things are fine. They only thank Allah when things are fine. And then when things are not fine, they get upset with Allah's plan. So Allah is telling us something about what not to be. And something even bigger than this. What is the bigger thing here? Is that, and this is not the case with every human being. Okay. What we're talking about is this one sheikh that, mashallah, he said this, and I found it always important to keep in mind. He said, when things go my way, I thank Allah Ta'ala once. And when things don't go my way, I thank Allah 10 times. Because now I know it's going in Allah's way, which is better than mine. And I wish we could remember that whenever a difficulty comes in our life or something doesn't go the way we planned. Because if you just thought that for just a brief moment that Allah is the one who's planning over me. So if it didn't go the way I planned, now it's going the way Allah plans. And the way Allah plans is a million times better than the way I could plan. So I wish we could think about that. You know, sometimes things like, you know, we talked about that guy earlier, that, you know, his marriage was just cut off with this girl, Fatima, whatever. Perhaps Allah has written for him in Aisha later on in life. And so because he had to get married to that girl, Allah cut off something earlier. But the fact that Allah, you know, sometimes a brother will find that all his friends were completely left him after he, you know, started practicing Islam. You know, maybe it's because these friends were just not good people. That Allah replaced them with even better friends. Maybe we should just be grateful and just be patient, you know? And that's what Allah says in the very next ayah. Is this the case with every person? It's not the case with every person. That every person will be ungrateful to Allah whenever Allah removes a blessing. Or people will be overjoyous or start boasting when they receive a blessing. Allah says there are a group of people who are beyond this. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجْرٌ كَبِيرٌ Allah says, except those who are patient and do good deeds. When a person is truly patient by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they look for a blessing in disguise. When you look at a hardship, now you're telling yourself, oh man, maybe Allah is going to forgive me for it. Or maybe I'll get higher ranks. Or maybe I'll get later on in life. You know, sometimes I say, you know, for me, and I want you all to maybe do this for yourselves, you know, especially if you have kids. I'll say, Allah, I went through such a musibah. Allah, just guide my children. You know, like, Allah, I went through such a musibah right now. I'm so upset and I'm just holding my tongue because you told me to hold my tongue. And because of that, Allah, please guide these people. You know, like, you know, just make a dua. When you're going through hardship, just make a dua. Wallahi, I feel like it is the most accepted dua by Allah. That when you go through a hardship and say, Ya Allah, I went through this and I was patient just for you, Ya Rab. I wouldn't be patient for anything else. You know how much I could act a fool and destroy these people. I'm not going to do it though. Allah, you guide someone. You do something. You make something good. And you'll see it, that it will come. Just be patient. Wa aminu salihat. They don't give up, you know. Sabar means what? That you bear with the bitterness. The aloe plant, the word sabur, right? It is the word sabur comes from this plant, which is so bitter that if it were to touch honey, it would make honey bitter. You know, this is the type of pill that you have to swallow when you have to be patient. You know what? I'm just going to take it. It's that bitter medicine that no one wants to take. But if you were to take it, everything will be taken care of. If we were just patient and just say, you know what? I'm just going to deal with it. If Allah told me it, I'll be patient. You don't give up and you don't turn towards sin. That's what it means to be a true patient person. Is that you never give up. You tell yourself perhaps there's a way out. The most striking example in the Quran about a patient person is Yaqub alayhi salam. Imagine this. He's crying every single night for his son Yusuf alayhi salam. Some scholars have said this is the case of for 40 years he's been crying. He's been crying for 40 years for Yusuf alayhi salam. And yet every single day, you know, after crying and crying to the point he became blind. Then finally he hears that perhaps Yusuf alayhi salam is alive, you know, in Egypt. So then he tells his son to go out and search for Yusuf. And don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Can you imagine that? After 40 years of not finding his son, he still says, perhaps Allah will bring him back to me. Perhaps we can get a little bit of Yaqub alayhi's patience. And we never give up and turn towards sin. This is the worst. When a person says, I give up, I'm just going to commit a sin. No, no, man. You were so patient for your entire life. You didn't get married. I know your parents were difficult on you. They made it so hard on you to get married. And you were just waiting and waiting and waiting. Just be a little bit more patient. Don't go towards sin. Don't do haram. Because what Allah has promised you on the other side is much better than what you have right now. Now, to give us that understanding, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, and they continue to do good deeds, right? They never stop doing good deeds. And so this is the thing I want everyone to think about and reflect on. Is that how many of us, when problems started, we started to pray more? You know, and how many of us just pray two extra rakats? You know, every single time a problem comes for me, I try to make it a habit now. And I remind everyone, because I want to remind myself, is that I want to pray two rakats when problems happen, you know? A brother told me last night, and it made me so happy. He said, he got his vaccine shot. You know, the second one, he was really worried about, you know, Ramadan, because, you know, it gets difficult. Not the fact that it'll break the fast. It's not going to break your fast, right? But he's just worried because the pain and difficulty of the, you know, the shot, maybe the body can't take it and maybe you have to break the fast. And so, you know, because of the pain and stuff. So, I said, oh man, Allah make it easy. He's like, no, don't worry, Sheikh. You told me to pray two rakats before every difficult point in my life, and I prayed it, and I think I'll be fine. You know, subhanAllah. Allah Ta'ala make us like that. That when difficulties happen, just get up and pray two rakats. Don't wait. Don't wait. And how many of us, and this is the higher level, that when the solution came, we prayed two rakats. I find that we pray to Allah, and we pray to Allah, we pray to Allah. But when the solution comes on, we stop praying to Allah. We should pray. I remember Mufti Romain Sab, our teacher, he went through such a difficulty with finances. And finally, the problem was solved. And I saw him before he went out to solve for the problem. He prayed two rakats. And finally, when the problem was solved, he signed the papers and everything got fixed. He prayed two rakats. And he told me that that's the way a Muslim should be. That when the problem happens, you pray two rakats. And when the problem is solved, you pray two rakats. May Allah make us like that, inshallah ta'ala. And then life starts to look the same every day. You're just happy and content. Because it doesn't matter now. Like, this is the thing about a person who has truly, like, he's become a true Muslim. Is that you really reached happiness and contentment. It doesn't matter now if people are happy with you or people are upset at you. People are mad at you or people are yelling at you. You got canceled, you got approved. It doesn't even matter anymore. Because why? Because I know everything's in the hands of Allah. Why would you be worried? If the master planner, Ahkamul Hakimin, the most wise of the wise, the one who has all the knowledge and all the wisdom and everything's in his hands, why would you even worry about anything after you know it's in his hands? Like, if the universe is running because of him, the sun is coming up every day, the moon is still doing what it needs to do, the universe is there because of him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, why are you even worried anymore? Every day starts to look the same because now you're just happy. You're like, yeah, if Allah is taking care of it, what do I have to worry about? Okay? أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ أَجْرٌ مَغْفِرَةٌ أَجْرٌ كَبِيرٌ. We'll finish on this part. I wanted to go into to why Allah could have said it, but maybe inshallah we'll do it on the next time we come. But let's focus on this part because I find it to be so beautiful. أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجْرٌ كَبِيرٌ. For them, we'll have a complete forgiveness. The word maghfira in Arabic means to cover something completely. You have a mighfar, which is the helmet a person wears, because you expect that the helmet you wear, like, for example, going to battle, or like a guy who's working construction, you know, the helmet, it has a very important job, is to protect your head from getting blown off, you know? And so the maghfira or the mighfar is the shield or the protection from anything bad happening to you. So the maghfira from Allah basically means that it's such a covering that nothing bad will ever happen to you. You don't have to worry about anything. What is the worry about a person who commits sins? I mean, this for me, being a very, myself, I'm not a good person. I know how I am. And I know that if anyone were to see my faults and mistakes, they would never even respect me, never even look at me with a good eye anymore. Okay? We've all made mistakes. One of the most embarrassing things is that our mistakes get exposed. When you have maghfirah from Allah, Allah is basically telling you that no one will ever see your mistake anymore. In this life or in the hereafter. Whatever mistakes you made, you don't have to worry about it. The shame of anyone finding out. On the day of judgment, the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that when Allah Ta'ala has to show you a book of deeds, the good and the bad, a curtain is dropped between you and all of creation, between you and your parents and all the prophets and everyone on creation, no one will be within that curtain. Only you and Allah will be behind the curtain. Then Allah Ta'ala will start to tell you, do you remember this sin? You remember this sin? You remember this sin? And that person will say, yes, Ya Allah, I do remember these sins. And you'll feel very embarrassed because of it, right? But Allah Ta'ala will say that I covered them in the world and I'm not going to expose them here on the Day of Judgment. So Allah tells him that I forgive you. And then they fold up his good deeds and they say, go straight to Jannah. No one even hears about it. You know, subhanAllah. Allah give us that. You know, like it's a, Allah grant all of us that. That no one ever finds out about what embarrassing things we've done in life. And that we are completely covered, inshallah. That's the first thing Allah promises if you are patient. No one will ever find out about all the bad things you've done. And the second thing is ajrun kabir, that your good deeds, it's mentioned that the ajrun kabir is what? A massive reward. A massive reward according to the Arab. The ajr by the Arab is that people start to recognize you. Okay? When people start to notice what you've done, that's what ajr kabir is. So they said in this world, Allah Ta'ala will make your good deeds recognized by the people. You don't have to tell them about your good deeds. Allah will make the people know about your good deeds anyways. And so that people start to honor you because of it. You see that religious people, they die, they live religious, they live good lives and they die good deaths. Because at their life, people respected them, and their death, people respect them. People will come from all over to perform their janazas. People will go from state to state to pray their janaza. We see these shuyukh that pass away, hundreds of thousands of people come for their janazas. Okay? Allah will make sure that your good deeds are recognized, even though no one even had to know about it, even though you didn't have to say a single word about it, you never tweeted about it, you never put it on Facebook, nothing. People will just start to know about things you've done because Allah will let people understand what kind of great person you were. And it's mentioned finally, ajrun kabir versus ajrun kathir, because the word kathir means lots of rewards, and kabir means one massive reward. That's a beautiful thing in Arabic, because if Allah Ta'ala said many rewards, then it could have meant that there was a number behind it. You know, if you said you'll get lots of rewards, I could have said, okay, there'll be like 5,000. No, it's a number, right? If it's many, you could put a number on it, right? 5,000, 10,000, 100,000, right? You put a number on it. But Allah Ta'ala said ajrun kabir, because when it comes to patience, there's never ever any number connected to it. There's no calculation behind it. I can never put a number on the pain that you received when that person said that thing to you. I can never put a number on the depression you had or the feelings of sadness that you had to go through. You know, Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ, that the patient wants to receive the reward without any measure. Allah says, I don't put a number on the things that happen in your heart. I'm just going to give you such a huge amount of reward that you'll be completely satisfied. We ask Allah for that type of tawfiq and understanding, and hope that, inshallah, that we can just be a little bit more patient. I know things are tough in life, but may Allah give us that patience, that He becomes pleased through it, and that we receive these blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And tomorrow, inshallah, we have our fundraiser. So I encourage everyone to join in at 5:30, inshallah, to join in the fundraiser, inshallah ta'ala. So that way you can, so we won't be doing tafsir tomorrow. We'll continue our tafsir session on Sunday, inshallah ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala allow us to benefit greatly from Ramadan. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad wa alayhi wa sallam, jazakumullah khairah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.